Welcome to Luma Digest. I'm Noura. It's Friday the 8th of May, and we've got some properly interesting things to talk about today. Okay, so this first one is something that has been quietly costing people actual money, and most builders have not even noticed it's happening. GitHub published a detailed playbook this week on token consumption in agentic workflows, and honestly, this is one of those pieces where the implications keep unfolding the more you think about it. Here's what they found. They instrumented their own CI/CD systems, the agents that run on every pull request, every merge, every automated check, and discovered that these agents were burning through tokens at a rate that nobody was tracking. Because here's the thing. These workflows run without human oversight. You push code, the agent spins up, does its thing, shuts down, you never see the token count. You just get the bill at the end of the month. GitHub built tools to measure where the waste was happening, and then they built agents to fix it. The results? Token consumption dropped by 37 to 62%. Not by switching models, not by reducing functionality, by pruning unused tools, moving data fetching out of the reasoning loop, and replacing LLM calls with simple CLI commands for deterministic tasks. Let me give you a concrete example of what that actually looks like. When an agent needs to fetch a pull request diff, if that's happening as an MCP tool call inside the LLM reasoning loop, it costs thousands of tokens. If you move that same fetch to a bash command that runs before the agent starts thinking, it costs nothing. Zero tokens, same information, different architecture. The broader pattern here is that operational design matters as much as model selection. A system prompt that's bloated with unused tool definitions or vague instructions does not just fail philosophically, it measurably increases your API costs on every single run. And what I keep coming back to is this. GitHub introduced something they call effective tokens. It's a weighted metric that accounts for different token types and model tiers. Because raw token counts can lie. A workflow processing larger files naturally uses more tokens even if the agent got smarter. But a 10% reduction in effective tokens means real cost savings no matter which model you are running. This is production agentic work, not demos, not prototypes, real systems running thousands of times a day, and the difference between efficient and inefficient design is the difference between sustainable and unsustainable. Worth thinking about for your own setup, right? If you have got agents running in CI, have you actually measured what they are costing you per run? Right. Let me stay in the agentic space for a second because there's a companion piece to that GitHub story that landed on dev.to this week, and it's brilliant. Someone published a full specification for what production agentic context should look like. They are calling it the perfect Claude.md comma, but it applies to any agent system. The key insight is this. Treat your system prompt as an execution specification, not as documentation. What does that mean in practice? Explicit tool permissions. Clear memory boundaries between durable architectural knowledge and temporary task state. Predictable repository structure so the agent wastes fewer tokens on navigation. Anti-patterns that cause failures at scale. This is the kind of thing that separates hobby projects from production systems. The mechanics of how you structure your agent's context directly determine how much it costs to run and how reliably it performs. I have been thinking about this all morning, honestly, because the gap between a vague system prompt and a proper execution spec is the gap between an agent that kind of works sometimes and one that you can actually deploy with confidence. If you are building agentic systems, this piece is worth coming back to. Links in the show notes. Okay, so completely different corner of the tech world now, but stay with me because this one is wild. Researchers at the University of Michigan discovered that electrons in metals form crystal-like patterns that deform and melt analogously to solid-liquid transitions. They published this in Quantum Metallurgy Research this week, and the implications for neuromorphic computing and superconductors are significant. What does that actually mean? Think of it like this. Electrons, which we usually think of as just flowing through a conductor, are actually arranging themselves into structured patterns. And those patterns behave like materials. They deform under stress. They melt at certain thresholds, they have phase transitions. Why does that matter? Because if we can understand and control those patterns, we open pathways for materials that compute at fundamentally lower energy levels. Neuromorphic systems that mimic biological efficiency. Superconductors that work at higher temperatures. This is one of those discoveries where the practical applications are years away, but the foundational science is so interesting that it is worth paying attention now. The people building the next generation of hardware are reading this paper today. Now, I need to talk about something OpenAI announced this week, and I have mixed feelings about this one. They launched new voice intelligence features in their API. Voice-based AI capabilities for developers, targeting customer service, education, and creator platforms. On one level, this is exciting, Voice interfaces are finally getting good enough to be useful at scale. The latency is dropping, the naturalness is improving. There are real use cases here: accessibility tools, language learning apps, hands-free workflows. But here's the thing that keeps nagging at me. Every time a major platform releases voice API capabilities, they are centralizing control over one more layer of how we interact with technology. Your voice interface is not just a feature, it's a dependency, and dependencies have a way of becoming leverage. I am not saying do not use it. I am saying be aware of what you are building on. If your product's core experience relies on someone else's voice API, you are building on someone else's terms. And those terms can change. Right. Let me shift gears again, because there's a research paper that landed this week that is genuinely clever, and it solves a problem most people do not even know exists yet. It's called sequential agent tuning, and it enables teams of smaller LLMs, 3-4B models in the study, to outperform a single 32B model without central coordination. The key innovation is that you can swap models in and out mid-deployment without retraining the whole system. Think about what that means for production environments. Right now, if you have got multiple models working together and one of them gets updated or replaced, you often have to retrain the entire coordination layer. That's expensive, that's slow, that's a barrier to experimentation. Sequential agent tuning gives you plug-and-play guarantees. You can swap a model, and the system adapts without retraining. That changes the economics of multi-model architectures entirely. The broader takeaway here is that we are moving from monolithic LLM deployments to team-based systems, and the tooling for managing those teams is starting to mature. This paper is a signal of what's coming. Okay, last one, and then I will let you go. Modular released Mojo 1.0 beta this week. Mojo is a systems programming language that combines Python syntax with performance for AI infrastructure. Here's why this matters. Python is brilliant for prototyping, but it's slow for production. C++ and Rust are fast for production, but they are painful for iteration. Mojo is trying to give you both. The ergonomics of Python with the speed of compiled systems languages. The beta release means it's getting close to production ready. If you are building AI infrastructure and you have been stuck choosing between developer experience and performance, this is worth watching. The interesting bit is not just the language itself, it's what it represents. The acknowledgement that AI workloads need tooling designed specifically for them, not retrofitted from general-purpose languages. The gap between what Python gives you and what AI systems need is wide enough that someone built a whole new language to fill it. So, stepping back from all of that, here's what I keep coming back to. The GitHub token efficiency work and the Claude.md spec are two sides of the same coin. As agents move into production, operational design matters as much as model selection. The difference between sustainable and unsustainable is often just better instrumentation and clearer context. The quantum metallurgy work and the voice API launch are both about control. One about understanding the physical substrate of computation, the other about who owns the interface layer. And the multimodal research and Mojo release are both about tooling catching up to reality. We are not building single model systems anymore. We are building teams, and the languages and frameworks need to reflect that. Something to think about on the commute home. That's it for now. Thanks for listening. Links in the show notes.